Mom, go ahead and read from 1 Corinthians 15.
Verse 30 to 32, and why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear to brothers and sisters that I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what Christ Jesus our Lord has done in you. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts, these people of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead? And if there is no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Okay, so you're reading from, is it the New Living NLT?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that's the Bible you have. It's really funny because I chose, this is where translation can make a difference, because I go back to the King James Version, actually, that says, I die daily, I think is what it says. Verse 31 in the translation I have in front of me is, I die every day. So what is your verse 31 says?
I face death daily.
Okay, I face death daily, which is a little different, and I'm not clear. I'm not a Greek scholar. So anyway, I always thought this meant I die. Mine says I die every day. And I understand the King James to say I die daily, as if to say I die to myself. And I'm not being a scholar. I don't know for sure. But who has any comments on that?
Wow. I die daily.
Because I didn't know there was that much of a difference between one translation to another. I guess what I'm getting at is my understanding of that verse, Paul's saying he dies every day. It just reads a little different in New Living Translation. It really doesn't matter. For our purposes, our message, our discussion this morning, to me, Paul's saying that he dies daily to his work. He does face death every day, I mean, practically.
Same line, Galatians 2:20, for it's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. So, yes, I have understood that to be the same thing.
And where was that, Galatians 5?
Galatians 2:20.
2:20. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, good. So, yeah, we get that. Jack, go ahead and read from Mark 8.
Was that 31, you said?
34 and 35.
34 and 35. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it.
Okay, thank you. Again, Jesus is calling to give up our lives. My version says they must be willing, and I'm usually on the NLT, but I switched up a couple of these and because I just like the way they were worded, basically saying the same thing. They must be willing even to give up their lives to follow me. Those who want to save their lives will give up true life. And it just reads a little differently again, but the bottom line is Christ is calling us to give everything. We're just going to have one more verse being read or passage before we move on. The whole idea here, these key verses, to me, call us, the individual follower of Christ, to give up our life, our understanding of life. Anything fleshly motivated needs to be killed. Anything that motivates us in a fleshly or worldly way needs to be annihilated, I think. Okay, Walt, go ahead and read from John 12.
Okay. Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him.
Amen. And then verse 25, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for in eternity. These verses are crucial for us to understand how difficult it is to be a follower of Jesus yet attached to the world. It's impossible, I think, to hold on to our worldly passions and desires and follow Jesus. I can't say I'm there, to be honest. I still have hang-ups where I still might get caught up on. I'm just saying maybe 100% of the time. My heart is all for Jesus, yet I find myself getting ensnared at times. And I'm going to tell you guys, I don't have this all figured out.
Right.
I don't have living a selfless life all figured out. I have a lot of selfishness in me. And to me, it goes back to Romans 7, where Paul says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. I struggle. So I'm not going to even pretend to say that I have this figured out. All I'm saying is, and I'm convicted, that this is the direction we need to be heading. Because if we allow ourselves to hold on to our old fleshly desires, we're going to be totally ineffective, compromised, and lukewarm.
Brother,
I mean, that's ultimately where it leads to. Go ahead, Jack.
I don't mean to cut you off. I had a thought about dying every day. Okay, if we're in Christ or not in Christ, those, you know, us as humans, we know if they're not in Christ, even you know we know that physically. The body, you know, we're born, we're dying every day from the day of our birth, physically, you know, and spiritually. And every day we go through what you mentioned, like the things that we have to die from. You know, we face this daily. It's not like you wake up the next morning how you went to sleep the day before thinking everything's okay now, you know, and you're at rest. And you have to fight again, and you will die. You have to die as well as your body is dying, but we're one day closer to getting to God's glory, you know. So we look at it as it's unfolding. That way, we're going towards the good. If we're in Christ, we're elevating ourselves up higher towards God's will. Does that make any sense?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm sorry. What you just told us is a beautiful thing, because first and foremost, we have to examine ourselves. We have to recognize it's not about us understanding God, because who are we to try to understand? His ways are not our ways. But the mere fact that you understand His truth and know that that's where you should be, then that's the transformation. You know, we're until we are in His glory, He's going to continue to work on us, you know. But understand, this truth right here is the reason why many Christians today are lukewarm. They are filled with self-gratification. There are preachers out there who are not truly preachers, motivational speakers, because they are preaching to itchy ears that want to hear about self, 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 self. You are still in the wilderness. God is going to deliver you, and God is going to bless you. He's going to pour out a blessings on you. You. Jesus never taught about that. Okay? He taught about, I was getting an echo, so I had to turn off the earpiece. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. He taught about how it's, as you just said, it's not about us. It's about Him. We can't do this. Larry, you can't do it. I can't do it. No one on this phone line can do it, but Jesus can. We have to die. Salvation is free. It wasn't free for Christ, but it's free for us. But discipleship and a follower is where you have to die, as He died. So it's important. What you're talking about today is probably the pivotal point in the body of Christ today, because there's so much preaching about prosperity and abundant life. What? Come on now. God wasn't talking about abundant as far as things on this earth. What did Peter and John say when it came to the poor man at the gate? Beautiful. He says, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give freely, which is Jesus.
Amen.
So this
Amen.
Has nothing to do with prosperity or abundant life is abundant in him, in Christ, 24/7. Okay, I think I said enough.
Amen, Brother, Pastor Jeff. I love it.
God gives us manna every day, and we sometimes, you know, we act as if we say we want meat, and all the time he's nourishing us, and we're looking at the wrong things.
Amen. And that's part of it. Pastor Jeff, you said something that I love, and that is the Bible gives us an impossible standard. We can't be holy without Christ. There's no way we can be holy. We are not perfect. We are only perfect in Christ. We are only holy, set apart, consecrated in Christ. The fact that you're in Christ makes you righteous. It doesn't come from your own work. So what I'm getting at is we read this impossible standard. God gives us impossible commands, such as love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are humanly, fleshly, impossible. So as long as we're in the Word, we are reminded of how much we need God, because he gives us this standard, and there's this huge chasm between us and our humanly abilities and what God set out for us to say, I want you to do this. And it, to me, by exposing ourselves to the Word, and that's exactly where we're going to go to next with this, we're allowing God to transform us, because that's what you said, Pastor Jeff. This whole process of understanding that we can't do it.
Amen. We can't. It was never intended for us to live for God. He said, yeah. Let me live in you. Let me do it. Let me do the work.
Right. It's always amazing because it says, I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. But yet Jesus says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's either all or nothing, baby. You're in Christ, you can do all things.
Amen.
If you're not in Christ, you really can't do anything, at least not spiritually.
Amen.
And you can't be obedient without being in Christ.